Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
And I'm Joe.
And today we're going to continue talking about the Maori in New Zealand. And they have a very rich and vibrant culture that they're proud of. And no trip to New Zealand would be complete without hanging out with the Maori for a while.
That's right. Today we're going to be talking about some more of the special customs and the culture of the Maori people. We're going to be talking about a dance they do called the haka, which is deeply ingrained in their warrior culture. And some of you may have seen this if you're into rugby at all. There's a very famous team called the New Zealand All Blacks. They are usually one of the top teams in the world. And before their games, they actually do this very fearsome sort of dance to try to intimidate the other team and also to fire themselves up as well. So that's one of the customs we'll be covering today.
Mm-hmm. You said that's called the haka dance? Isn't there like a group of people in Taiwan called the haka?
That's right. Here, the name haka is spelled H-A-K-A. I believe the name for the people here is spelled with two K's, but it sounds exactly the same.
Okay, well, we'll find out about that and some other things having to do with the Maori in today's program. So let's get to it. Let's read our article for today, and then we'll come back to discuss it line by line and word by word for you. The Maori way of life permeates much of New Zealand's culture and history. When we think of Maori, the first image to spring to mind is likely the haka war dance. The haka is a fearsome warrior chant involving loud, rhythmic stamping and body slapping while shouting ferociously and sticking out the tongue. War haka was customarily performed before battle to intimidate the enemy, showing them the strength of Maori fighters. For this reason, the haka has been adopted by New Zealand rugby teams, which has made it internationally familiar. One tradition you're less likely to come across is facial tattooing, as it has become almost extinct in recent decades. The tattoos once symbolized life events and denoted social status. They were done with a chisel, so it was incredibly painful and thus a demonstration of courage. Modern Maori have forged a revival by using old tribal designs, though these tend to be on the body instead of the face. You will, however, probably get to see a poi dance. This is a hypnotic display of quick-moving hands that spin two balls on cords. Women use poi for flexibility and coordination, while for men, it was originally performed as an exercise in being alert for battle. Poi is now a widely recognized performing art, and poi artists these days often brighten up their acts with the use of fire or LED lights. These are just a few of the Maori's intriguing traditions. There are many more, all preserving the vivid cultural legacy of previous generations. So if you get the chance to visit New Zealand, do something out of the ordinary and meet the Maori.
Okay, so if you ever get the chance to go to New Zealand, these are some of the customs you might want to try to witness, if you can, from the Maori people. Now, at the beginning of our first paragraph, it says that the Maori way of life permeates much of New Zealand's culture and history. If something permeates something else, it means it gets into it. So the Maori way of life has gotten into much of New Zealand's culture and history. So you can see a lot of Maori customs in the culture, and it's also very prevalent in the history, too. For example, to explain more about this word permeate, sometimes if it rains a lot and if you have wood in your house or on the street or something like that, the water will permeate the wood, meaning it gets inside it. So when we say the Maori way of life permeates New Zealand culture, it means it gets inside New Zealand culture.
Mm-hmm, right. We could say that liquids permeate different substances. That means that liquid gets inside of them. It soaks into that thing. So lots of these aspects of Maori culture have permeated into New Zealand's culture. They influence it. People recognize it. It's part of the culture. It's there. Now, when we think of Maori, the first image to spring to mind is likely the Haka war dance. Okay, so if somebody mentions the word Maori, you might have an image that springs to mind. An image is just something that you can see or imagine. And so if you hear this word, the first thing you might visualize in your mind is this Haka war dance. If something springs to mind, you could also say it comes to mind, which means it appears in your thinking immediately. It's the first thought you have.
Now, the Haka is a fearsome warrior chant involving loud, rhythmic stamping and body slapping while shouting ferociously and sticking out the tongue. So it's a very fearsome warrior chant. If something is fearsome, it's very scary. It's made to frighten other people who see it. And it's done by warriors, people who fight in battle, soldiers, in other words. It's a chant, too. So they're saying things over and over again, repeating certain words. And it also involves loud rhythmic stamping and body slapping. So along with this chant, we have rhythmic stamping, meaning they are hitting the ground with their feet very loudly, and also slapping their bodies with their hands. They're hitting themselves, in other words, too. So you can see how this would be very fearsome. They're stamping, they're shouting, and they're slapping themselves. So it's designed to intimidate the enemy or make them feel very frightened.
Right. Stamp there being used as a verb. It reminds me of that children's song, you know, if you're happy and you know it, stamp your feet, which means push those feet into the ground and make a very loud sound. They'll also slap their bodies with their hands. Maybe if you get mad at somebody, you might slap them in the face. They will also shout ferociously. Ah, ah, ah. That's ferociously, like a wild animal or something. And then they'll also stick out their tongue. That means the tongue was in their mouth, and then they push it out of their mouth so that other people can see it. In this case, they're trying to stick out that tongue in order to maybe scare other people.
War haka was customarily performed before battle to intimidate the enemy. If something is done customarily, it means this is usually when it is done. This is the normal time for this custom to be performed. So this war haka was usually performed before battle, before a big fight, to intimidate the enemy. If you're going to intimidate someone, it means you're going to make them feel frightened. For example, if a larger boy in school pushes a smaller boy, he's trying to intimidate him, trying to make him feel scared. And this dance, this war haka, was showing the enemy the strength of the Maori fighters. They were showing them how big and scary and strong they were before the battle.
Strength just refers to how strong something is. Strong, of course, is the adjective. Strength is the noun. You have to lift up this sofa with all of your strength, for example. Well, for this reason, the haka has been adopted by New Zealand rugby teams. And this has made it internationally familiar. Rugby is a type of football. It's using a very large olive-shaped ball. They kind of throw it around to each other. It's very popular in New Zealand and Australia, rugby. I think I've seen people here in Taiwan play it, but they don't play it as often as baseball or basketball. But nevertheless, it's very popular in New Zealand. And this particular dance has been adopted by rugby teams in New Zealand. To adopt something means you bring it into your sphere of influence. Like, for example, you can adopt a child. If there's a child who's an orphan who doesn't have his or her parents, you can adopt that child, make it your own. Here, they're adopting this dance. They use it as part of their games.
So because these New Zealand rugby teams have performed the war haka at some of their games, some of their international games, and you see some of them on TV, this dance is now internationally familiar, so people can recognize it. They see people doing this dance and they know, oh, this comes from New Zealand. This must be a team from New Zealand because this is part of the Maori culture. Now, one tradition you're less likely to come across is facial tattooing, as it has become almost extinct in recent decades. To come across something means to experience something or to literally walk upon something that is happening. So you're not probably going to come across facial tattooing, although we talked about it yesterday. It has become almost extinct in recent decades. If something becomes extinct, it means it no longer exists. For example, the dinosaurs that used to live on Earth are extinct. They've all died out. Similarly, facial tattooing is almost extinct. Very few people actually keep this custom alive today.
Mm-hmm. Now, the tattoos once symbolized life events and denoted social status. So why would they put these tattoos on their faces? Well, they symbolized things. To symbolize means to represent something, to stand for something, to recognize something. They would symbolize life events. So if the person climbed a tall mountain or killed a certain number of wild animals, then these tattoos would symbolize those events. Also, these tattoos denoted social status. To denote means to recognize something or to represent or stand for something. And social status is social standing, your position in society. So maybe you're a chief or a director or a general or something like that. The tattoos would help other people know what your status was.
These tattoos were done with a chisel. Now, a chisel is kind of like a sharpened hammer. It has a very sharp point on it. So they were not done the way that people get tattoos done today, with an electronic needle. This is the traditional way of doing it. And this would have been very painful because they would have taken the chisel, the sharpened point, and hit it into the skin over and over and over again to put the ink beneath the skin. So this was incredibly painful and thus a demonstration of courage, showing how brave you were. So for a warrior, a young warrior, to undergo this procedure would show that they can take the pain and thus they would probably be very brave in battle. So it was something of a rite of passage for them, meaning that this showed that they were going from being a boy, say, to being a man, or from being just a regular member of the tribe to being a warrior, somebody who is going to fight to defend the tribe.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we'll continue talking about tattoos and some other aspects of Maori culture, including the poi dance, in just a couple of seconds. But right now, we're going to listen to our Chinese teacher. But stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tina. 我们继续来看看毛利人独特的文化特色。When we think of Maori, the first image to spring to mind is likely the Hakka war dance.在许多的旅展活动当中，我们都有看过毛利人的战舞。而在这里的 spring to mind 指的是某人马上想到。不过 spring to mind 它呢要用事物来当作是主词。而这所谓的战舞 The Hakka is a fearsome warrior chant involving loud rhythmic stamping and body slapping while shouting ferociously and sticking out the tongue. 这一句呢就非常清楚的来描述在跳战舞的时候呢除了嘴中要念一些战歌之外呢脚也要跟着有节奏的踱步。在这里的 stamping 就是代表踱步，除此之外呢，还要拍打着自己的身体，而呢，也要嘴巴呢，非常凶狠的叫嚣着，同时 sticking out the tongue， 把舌头来吐出来。而这一切的动作呢，都是为了 to intimidate the enemy， 想要来威吓或者是来痛吓敌人。Showing then the strength of Maori fighters, 同时展现出来毛利战士的这种勇气。而到了现在呢，许多这样子的舞蹈也就被纽西兰的橄榄球队采用，也就为世人所熟知。除此之外呢，正是他们的纹面的面部刺青 ,facial tattooing,The tattoos once symbolized life events and denoted social status. 面部的刺青呢，其实象征的正是一些发生的重要的事件，以及呢，社会的地位。Symbolize 代表着象征。举个例子来说 ,In Europe, the color white symbolizes purity. 在欧洲，白色象征着纯洁，而呢，这样子的面部的刺青 denote 也就是代表是什么的标记，它也代表着是这个人他所处的社会地位。
It's time now to take a short break, but stay tuned. We'll be right back. Now, today we've been talking about aspects of the Maori way of life. It permeates much of New Zealand's culture and history. We might think of the haka war dance when someone mentions the word Maori. It involves fearsome warriors chanting, and they have loud rhythmic stamping and body slapping, and they shout and stick out their tongue. They originally did this dance before battle to intimidate the enemy, but nowadays they use it before rugby matches to intimidate the other team, to get them so scared that they'll probably give up before the game even starts. And we also talked about facial tattooing, which means putting these designs on their faces. Tattooing usually refers to putting designs and things on different parts of the body. Here, it's facial tattooing, and it's almost extinct here. They don't really do it anymore, but those tattoos would symbolize life events and social status. It was very painful to get a facial tattoo, but if you got one, everybody knew that you were one brave person. Now, nowadays, because the Maoris are so proud of their culture, there's been kind of a revival of these tattoos using tribal designs. They've forged a revival.
That's right. If you forge something, it just means that you start doing something or you try to make something happen again. So you might forge a victory in a game or something like that, meaning that you just try your best to win the game. But here, they've forged or they've tried to get something going, and that thing is a revival using old tribal designs. If you revive something, it means you bring something back that was done once, but then people probably stopped, but now you're trying to bring it back. They're trying to bring back these Maori traditional tattoos using these old tribal designs, but they're not really doing it on the face anymore. They're putting them on the body, and this has become something of a global tattoo trend. You'll see a lot of people walking around who aren't necessarily Maori people or their descendants, but they will have a Maori design on a tattoo on their arm or on their leg or on their chest, just not really on the face, because getting tattoos on your face can scare some people, or maybe it'll stop you from getting a job or something like that in modern society. So they still have the Maori tattoos, just not on the face so much.
Right. To forge something means to shape something in steel, forged steel. So it's kind of bringing this thing back again, a revival. They used to have these tattoos. They stopped it for a while. Maybe they were ashamed or something. And now there's been a revival. They're coming back. They are back in style. Well, let's move on from facial tattoos and talk more about dancing here. You will, however, probably get to see a poi dance. That is, if you go to New Zealand. And this is a special kind of dance here. It's called the poi dance. What is it? Well, it's a hypnotic display of quick-moving hands that spin two balls on cords. Well, they're calling it a dancer, but it almost sounds like a sport because they're doing something with a ball here. But again, it's a kind of performance here. It's hypnotic. Hypnotic means it has these rhythms over and over, and your mind starts to be controlled by that thing.
So if you go to New Zealand, you'll probably get to see a poi demonstration. Often for tourists, people will perform this, or you might just see people practicing it on the beach. Women use poi for flexibility and coordination. So when women are practicing this ancient custom, they're trying to improve their flexibility, meaning how their muscles can stretch. If you have good flexibility, for example, you can bend down to touch your toes with your fingertips, meaning it won't hurt your muscles or things like that if you stretch in that way. They're also trying to improve their coordination. Your coordination has to do with how you move and your ease of movement. If you have good coordination, then you can run without falling down or tripping all the time. You're not very clumsy. But if you have bad coordination, it just means your movements aren't so graceful. So by practicing with these strings with the balls on the end, these cords as we described them, it can improve both of these areas for women, their flexibility and also their coordination.
Mm-hmm, right. So, for example, if you play tennis, you need to have good hand-eye coordination, being able to match what you see with what your arms and feet do, to match all these different movements together so they work as one unit. So they do these things for flexibility and for coordination. At least that's why the women do this dance. But the men originally performed this as an exercise in being alert for battle. Alert means you're awake and you know what is happening at all times. You're not clumsy. You're not stupid. You're alert. You're quick-witted. You know what's happening. So they would do this to keep themselves sharp, to keep their minds sharp, because if you're fighting in a battle, one slow move is going to result in instant death for you.
Poi is now widely recognized as a performing art, and poi artists these days often brighten up their acts with the use of fire or LED lights. So it's been brought into the modern age a little bit. It's very widely recognized. You can see poi dances or variations of them throughout the Polynesian islands. I remember seeing something similar when I traveled to Hawaii, and you can probably see them in other Polynesian places like Guam or Hawaii or anywhere throughout that island chain. Now, poi artists these days, they brighten up their acts with these different things like fire and LED lights. So at the end of these cords, they have those balls. So sometimes they will soak them in something flammable, something that can be lit on fire, like some sort of liquid. And they will light them on fire, and they will do these poi dances at night. So it's much more visible and much more visually stimulating, or even LED lights as well, special bright lights that they will put on the end. So when they're spinning these things around faster and faster, you can almost see circles of light because they're moving so quickly.
Right. Maybe they'd be using those tiki torches, T-I-K-I, which are popular in those Pacific islands, as a way to provide light with fire, and also LED lights that refers to light-emitting diodes, which are becoming more and more popular these days. Well, these are just a few of the Maori's intriguing traditions, traditions that you might be interested in. There, of course, are many more, and they're all preserving the vivid cultural legacy of previous generations. So these traditions are being passed from generation to generation. So if you get the chance or the opportunity to visit New Zealand, well, maybe you can do something out of the ordinary and meet the Maori. And remember, we were talking about the word Maori itself. In their language, it means ordinary as opposed to the gods. And, well, they are nothing but ordinary. They're extraordinary. And, of course, no trip to New Zealand would be complete without having contact with the Maori. I'm sure they're really great people to hang out with and get to know.
That's right. I'm sure you could visit a Maori community and experience some of their customs if you get to go there. You could experience the haka or the poi dance, or maybe you'll even get to see some of those tattoos that they're trying to bring back or revive. All right. Now, once again, it's time for us to listen to our Chinese teacher, and then Tom and I will be back to wrap up today's show.
接着呢，我们还谈到了 Modern Maori have forged a revival using old tribal designs, though these tend to be on the body instead of the face. 事实上，到了现代这个时候呢，许多的毛利人仍然呢会尝试的要复苏这种刺青的文化，只不过呢，刺青的部位是在身体而不是脸上咯。这里的 forge本来是有建立关系或者是缔结联盟的意思。除了前面提到的 The Hakka War Dance, 战舞 Facial Tattooing, 面部的刺青，接着我们要看的是 A Poi Dance, 球舞。Women use poi for flexibility and coordination, while for men, it was originally performed as an exercise in being alert for battle.女性呢，用球舞来训练自己的灵活度以及协调性，分别在英文代表着是 flexibility and coordination。而对男性来说呢，这样子的球舞呢，就可以当作是战争中警觉度的一个训练咯。Being alert 我们来看到 alert 当作形容词，可以解释成为警觉的、机警的。所以如果提到对什么事物要保持警惕，你就可以说 be alert to something。游客到这个国家旅游的时候，必须要对可能出现的危险保持警觉。我们就可以说 Tourists need to be alert to the dangers of traveling in the country. 接着后面还提到，到了现代时代的变迁， Poi artists these days often brighten up their acts with the use of fire or LED lights.到了现在，球舞的表演者呢，会使用火或者是 LED 的灯光来点亮他们的表演动作。而以上所说的呢，正是一些这所谓毛利人的 intriguing traditions。intriguing 在这里指的是令人感兴趣的。当然，他们的文化非常的独特，还有其他很棒的特色跟遗产。There are many more, all preserving the vivid cultural legacy of previous generations. 事实上还有许多特殊的文化特色，而这一切呢，都保留着先前世代所存留下来的一些丰富的文化遗产。在这里，我们讲到 to preserve 就是有保存、保留的意思。像是 to preserve ancient buildings 代表着要保存古代的建筑物， to preserve a tradition 要保留一些传统， a legacy 则是指遗留之物以及遗产咯。 So, if you get the chance to visit New Zealand, do something out of the ordinary and meet the Maori.如果有机会到纽西兰的话，就尝试来见见这些毛利人以及他们的文化吧。
Over the past couple of days on English Digest, Tom and I have been discussing the customs of the indigenous people of New Zealand, known as the Maori, talked about a lot of their different customs, such as facial tattoos and the special Hakka dance, and also what they have in common with people from Taiwan. They are actually...the descendants of the native peoples of Taiwan, too.
Sounds pretty cool. Maybe you can check out both the native peoples of Taiwan and the native peoples of New Zealand, and it will enrich your life forever. Thank you for joining us, everybody, and please join us again next time for English Digest. My name is Tom.
And I'm Joe. Goodbye.
Bye.